We'll turn to Nehemiah chapter 11. Nehemiah chapter 11, and we'll read a few verses. And the rulers of the people dwelt at Jerusalem. The rest of the people also cast lots to bring one of ten to dwell in Jerusalem, the holy city, and nine parts to dwell in other cities. And the people blessed all the men that willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. Now these are the chief of the province that dwelt in Jerusalem. But in the cities of Judah dwelt everyone in his possession in their cities, to wit, Israel, the priests, and the Levites, and the Nethinim, and the children of Solomon's servants. And at Jerusalem dwelt certain of the children of Judah, and of the children of Benjamin. Of the children of Judah, Athaiah, the son of Uzziah, the son of Zechariah, the son of Amariah, the son of Shephatiah, the son of Mahalaleel, of the children of Perez. They are there to be read, because this is the record of the Lord, of all those that are his. The Lord knows those that are his. This is the sure testimony of God. We saw last week that the people gave tithes. They gave of the produce of the land. They gave of wine and oil and fruit, and they gave, no doubt, of money. The people gave tithes, one-tenth of all. And that one-tenth was a representative portion to signify that they were giving all to the Lord, for all is his. But we find that in chapter 11, that it doesn't stop there, you see. The people willingly offered themselves. Verse 2. The people willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. And if you look very carefully, you'll find that 1 in 10, it's in verse 1, 1 in 10 offered willingly to dwell in Jerusalem. In other words, they were not just giving out of what they possessed, they were giving themselves. For they are the Lord's. They are the Lord's redeemed people. And one of the things that needs to sink down into our hearts is that we are the Lord's redeemed people. As it says in the New Testament, in Corinthians, it says, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. The Lord has paid that great price for you and for me. We are his, bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Redeemed, not with silver and gold or corruptible things, but by the precious blood of the Lamb that was slain for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're his, not our own. Therefore, we should be totally and completely subject to his will, to live our lives for him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The people offered themselves willingly. In Psalm 110, a verse with which you are no doubt familiar, it says that the Lord's people, thy people, will be willing in the day of thy power. And I trust that applies to us also this morning, that we shall be willing, that we are willing in the day of his power. For this is the day of his power. Hallelujah. This is the day of his power. For he has defeated the enemy. He has defeated death. He has overthrown principalities and powers. This is the day of his power. Hallelujah. Satan is defeated. The enemy is crushed. The serpent is trampled underfoot. Praise the name of the Lord. Death has lost its sting. I hope we can appreciate that this morning. That death has lost its sting as far as we are concerned, because we are in Christ Jesus, the mighty victor, the one who has defeated death, the one who is alive forevermore, unto the age of the ages. He is the living one, and we are alive in him. This is the day of his power. And should not we be willing in the day of his power? Should not we be willing to live unto him and not unto self in the day of his power? That's what the psalmist said. There is a nice little insight in the Song of Songs, and this is a book which is delightful to the believer to read when we see what the Lord is doing and has done for those whom he loves. In Song of Songs and chapter 6, the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, and verses 11 and 12. I went down into the garden of nuts to see the fruits of the valley. Now, we are in the place, if you like, of the valley as we dwell on this earth. But the valley has become a fruitful place when we are in Christ Jesus. If we can turn it upside down, we may be in the valley, but our roots are in heavenly places, and we are being nourished by him. We are abiding in the vine, and therefore bring forth much fruit. And so it says, I went down into the valley, into the garden of nuts, to see the fruits of the valley, and to see whether the vine flourished, and the pomegranates budded. There is that delightful fruit to the Lord. There is that fruit which is pleasing to him, the fruit of the vine. I am the true vine, says the Lord Jesus Christ. If you abide in me and I in you, you shall bring forth much fruit, fruitfulness unto him. But there is the pomegranate as well, and there is the budding of the pomegranate. The pomegranate is that which produces not only a fruit which is pleasing to the Lord, but it is full of seed, that which bears life. And here we have a view in the valley, in the place of fruitfulness, amongst those that are the Lord's and know that they are the Lord's, those that are producing fruit. And it says, or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of Amminadab. Now, who's Amminadab? Well, I don't know whether it should be translated as a name, because actually Amminadab means my willing people. Or ever I was aware, my soul made me like the chariots of my willing people. He was in the place of God's willing people. When you are in the place of God's willing people, you are in the place of fruitfulness, because the Lord is in the midst, and the Lord is bringing forth that fruit which is pleasing to him. Praise the name of the Lord. The prophet Isaiah made a promise to the people of Israel of old, and this was the promise in verse 19 of chapter 1 of Isaiah. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient. And here we find that the people willingly offered themselves to dwell at Jerusalem. There was a choice. They could have dwelt in Jerusalem, or they could have dwelt in the land and the property that they rightfully owned in the land. But they chose to forsake their worldly possessions to live in the city of the king, to live in the heavenly city, to live in Jerusalem. And the same choice is open to us as children of the Lord. Are we going to live in what is ours in this world and for that? Or are we going to live in the heavenly city, in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus? The choice is ours. The provision is made. Ephesians tells us quite clearly how the Lord has raised us up, that we should sit together with Christ in heavenly places. And yet if we choose to live in the possessions that we have in this world, and according to them and for them, how poor we will be. Yes, we will be possessors of life eternal, for God has saved us with a great salvation. But we will be spiritually paupers, and we shall suffer eternal loss. As it shows to us in 1 Corinthians, there is a coming a time of testing, and there will be those who will be saved yet so as by fire, the wood, the hay, the stubble. But there will be those whose lives have been lived in the heavenly places, whose lives have been built up continually in the Lord Jesus Christ, the gold and the silver and the precious stones. It says, every man's work shall be tried by fire to see what sort it is. Some shall suffer loss, but all shall be saved that know the Lord Jesus Christ. Or let us live our lives willingly in those heavenly places. Let us live our lives unto him. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. And here is a difference between chapter 10 and chapter 11, in that all can outwardly give tithes, give of what they have. But you know, some people, when they give grudgingly. They eke it out. Well, I can't really afford it, but, you know, okay then. But the Word of God says the Lord loves the cheerful giver. It's accepted according to what a man has. And the Lord does not bring us into a place of bondage and suffering if we give willingly. The Lord will indeed bless us according to his word. So some people can actually give grudgingly. They don't want to give, but they give. They get under a bondage to a law, to legalism. But if we know that the Lord has saved us and delivered us and set us free and bought us for himself, how willingly and gladly we shall give unto him. Others can give without actually being grudging about it, without actually missing anything, and just give their tithe, as they would call it, out of habit. They've always set that aside. They never miss it. And there's no giving, really. It's just what they've always done. They've got into the habit of it. But here is the test, you see. Are we giving ourselves? People can give out of what they have, and yet they're not giving themselves. They feel that they've done their duty, and then they can carry on living in this world. We can't. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, we can't. We are his. We are bought with a price, and we're called to live entirely and completely unto him. We cannot even mix 1% of living in the world, of worldly living. We can only live completely unto him or unto self. You cannot serve God and mammon, said the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus set down those words, not me. There is no 1% mixture allowable. There's not even a 0.5% mixture allowable. He says you cannot serve God and mammon. It's either one or the other. And if we live for the things of the world, if we live for the fashions of the world which come and go and fade away, we shall be wasting our time upon this earth. We need to live entirely unto him, that we may know that wonderful experience that Paul spoke of being changed from glory to glory as we look unto him. Praise his wonderful name. And what joy these people experienced in dwelling in Jerusalem, in dwelling in the holy city. Although as far as the world was concerned, as far as others were concerned, they may seem to have been giving up such a lot. You're foolish, you're daft. Fancy forsaking your acres of farmland and your vineyards and your olive groves and such like to go and live up in Jerusalem, in that city of buildings that are so crowded together and streets and no farmland. Fancy forsaking all that to live there. And people say that today, don't they? Fancy not wanting to climb the ladder of success. Fancy not wanting to get to the top. Fancy not wanting the best car in the street. Fancy not wanting this, that and the other. Fancy not wanting to have... Well, we could go on and on and on, couldn't we? Because that's the way the world goes on. Always looking for the next best thing that they can have. Because there's nothing else for them to live for. Nothing at all. That is their life. That is their life. And it will fade away. And their life will fade away with it. But we have a life which is eternal. Hallelujah. We have an inheritance in the heavens which is undefiled, which fades not away, is reserved in heaven for us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. It must have been thought of these people. They're wasting their time. They've made a silly choice. Fancy giving up all that to live there. And people will say the same about us as well. Fancy not wanting all these things. Fancy wanting to live a life of being deprived of giving up this, giving up that. We heard the testimony last Sunday, didn't we? Somebody who gave her testimony, Sue I think it was, who said, I thought when I first came into contact with this that it was going to be what I'd have to give up. What I'd have to give up. I'd have to give this up. I'd have to give that up. You see what joy there is that the world does not know that is ours in Christ. And those who came to dwell in Jerusalem although it may have seemed that they had to forsake such vast wealth and property, they were nevertheless brought into a wealthy place in the Lord. To the world's eyes, it looks dry and uninteresting, but from the inside, it's full of life and power. Hallelujah. We find in verse 6 that there were men there that were the sons of Perez that dwelt at Jerusalem. And it says they were valiant men. I'll just pick out one or two ideas from these verses. We won't go through in detail. But here were valiant men, you see. Valiant people. Be valiant, be strong. Resist the power of sin, the old hymn goes. We can be valiant and we can be strong in the Lord. Not fearing what the world fears. Isn't that wonderful? You talk to people in the world, and when you get down to the real heart of things, often, although their lives are surrounded with all the sorts of things that the world is interested in, right in the centre of their lives is this great big fear. Fear of death, fear of war, fear of suffering, fear of disease, fear of illness, all sorts of fears. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can be bold, courageous, valiant in him. They are the sons of Perez, it says. Now, Perez means a breach, a breaking out. They were the two sons of Thamar in the Old Testament. Perez and Zara, that's right. Perez and Zara. And what happened was that as they were being born, Zara stuck his hand out and they tied a red thread around it. This is the first one. And he pulled his hand back in again. And Perez was born first. And then Zara was born with the red thread. And he that seemed to be the firstborn wasn't. But Perez broke forth. And, you know, we have that sort of double birth, don't we? The second birth. Praise the name of the Lord. That we can be the sons of the tremendous, the sons of this breach, of this breaking forth, of this mighty spiritual growth in the Lord. We can know this because we're in the place of our birth when we dwell in the heavenly Jerusalem. It says, Jerusalem which is above is the mother of us all. Then there were the sons of Benjamin. The sons of Benjamin are the sons of my right hand, says the Lord. The sons of my right hand. The sons of power. The sons of inheritance. We too are brought in that place. Who is our overseer? Our overseer is Joel. Joel is Jehovah is God. The Lord himself is the one who watches over us, the overseer. What a wonderful place to be in him. The place where God watches over us. The place where Jehovah, where the Lord is God. In verse 11 it speaks about the priests. And it says the Sariah, the son, and it gives the genealogy, was the ruler of the house of God. Who is Sariah? Sariah is Jehovah has prevailed. Hallelujah. Our mighty high priest has prevailed. And he has entered into the holiest place of all. And he has offered his blood, which speaks of that perfect cleansing. The Lord, our mighty high priest, has prevailed. We're in the place of valiant men. We're in the place of that work which God has done, breaking forth. We're in the place where we are the sons of his right hand because we are in him, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the son of God's right hand. We're in the place where our high priest, Sariah, Jehovah has prevailed. He's the ruler of the house of God. It tells us that in Hebrews chapter 3, doesn't it? That the Lord Jesus Christ is a son over his own house. Hebrews chapter 3. The son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is over his own house. Hallelujah. What a tremendous and mighty Lord we have. In verse 14, we find mighty men of valour. And the one that watched over them was the son of the great men. Well, we have one over us who is indeed a great and mighty man. Verse 16, the Levites had the oversight of the outward business of the house of God. There is an inward business and there is an outward business. And all has to be seen to and attended to. The inward business of the house of God is that place where the high priest ministers for us at the right hand of God, in the Holy of Holies. That was the place where the priests ministered and where the high priest ministered, the holy place and the Holy of Holies. But outside was the court, where the priests and the Levites attended to the needs of the people, where the sacrifice was made for sin. The sacrifice was not made for sin in the holy place or in the holy of holies. The sacrifice was made outside. And with the altar of burnt offering was there too, in the courtyard. The washing took place there, where the laver was, outside. All these things were provided for the needs of the people, as it were, living in this world. There was the inward business of the house of God. And praise God, that place which is holy, where we may dwell by faith, that place is a place where we can offer the worship and the praise that is due to his name, where the altar of incense is. But there is an outward business of the house of God too, where there is a provision for cleansing, the daily cleansing that we need. For the laver speaks of daily cleansing, the daily cleansing that we need, the washing of water by the word. And there is that provision for us too, living in this world, that we might know cleansing, that we might be in the presence of God. There is the altar of burnt offering, where we may live lives that are acceptable and totally pleasing to the Lord. And there were those that had then the attention, the oversight of the outward business of the house of God. And because it's outward, it is also a testimony to those that may be looking on, that are not part of the Lord's people. There is a testimony as well then to those that are not the Lord's. And then in verse 17, we have the son of Asaph, and it goes right the way through the genealogy back to Mattaniah. But the son of Asaph was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. Now Asaph means the collector, or more understandable, the assembler, the one who gathered the people together. And he was the one who began the thanksgiving in prayer, in song and in worship and in praise. And you know, that is a ministry which we too enjoy as the people of God. That assembling of ourselves together that we might worship and praise him. There was all this in Jerusalem, that the people might assemble together, that there might be a leading in praise and in worship. Our gathering together is unto him, unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there are two gatekeepers mentioned amongst the many gatekeepers that there were, but two are mentioned, Akub and Talmon in verse 19, and they kept the gates. They were the porters who kept the gates. Very important, very necessary. For here is the holy city. Here is the place where the people of God have willingly come to dwell. Here is the place where the people are bold and strong, for they are dwelling in the city of God. Here is the place where they worship and praise him. Here is the place where there is a daily provision for cleansing and for every need, that lives might be lived that are pleasing to him. Here is the place where they can sing praise and thanksgiving to God. But it's very necessary that the gates be kept to keep that out which would defile and which would corrupt. And you know, we need also to know this ministry from the Lord in our own lives. We must also be watchful. We must also keep the gates as we dwell in his presence, that nothing harmful and defiling be allowed to enter our lives. It's quite amazing when we look at the meanings of these names, and we've seen names which speak so highly of God and of what he has done. But when we come to the gates, we find two names mentioned, Akub and Talmon. And Akub means insidious, a restrainer, somebody who by craft and cunning can restrain the entrance of that which is defiled. And Talmon means to leap suddenly, to pounce. Yes, these are the watchers of the gates, those who will restrain, those who will pounce on anything that is not right in our lives and in the presence of God. Are we watchful like that? Are we watchful, ready to restrain anything that would defile? Are we ready to pounce on anything that would begin to sow the seeds that grow into lust and sinfulness? There are two watchers, two witnesses against anything that is harmful and defiled. God has made a perfect provision for us. And I do believe that if we are watchful, that he will enable us to cast out all things that are not pleasing to him, that his name might be magnified, and that we might enjoy his glorious and his wonderful presence. Hallelujah. What a tremendous privilege we have to dwell in his presence. The people willingly offered themselves. May we willingly offer ourselves. Just in closing, let us look at Colossians chapter 3. And this is the exhortation to us this morning, I believe, from the Word of God. Colossians chapter 3. This sums up much of what we've thought about this morning. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Let us willingly offer ourselves this morning to dwell in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen.